Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dana Roselli. I'm a news anchor over at KTNV-TV. I'm Italian-American, and I'm proud of it. So for those of you watching, welcome to Cultures of Las Vegas, the Italians. This is also featured as a podcast if you'd like to listen in or maybe share with your friends. We're celebrating Italian-American Heritage Month, and we have some great guests with us right now. We have Dominic Gentile, the former publisher of La Voce. He is also the Emeritus Honorary Consul for Republic of Italy. And we also have Claudia Constantino, is the director of marketing at Casa Italiana di Las Vegas, our Italian cultural center, which is really great. And Frankie Shinta, longtime performer, singer, musician, you name it. We're excited to have all these folks with us, of course, to talk about being Italian and Italian heritage here in Las Vegas. And we have a lot to talk about, and Italians like to talk, right?
We do.
No talking over each other. Okay. Not allowed.
Never.
Okay. Never, never.
Can we just do the gestures?
We can do that too. We can do that too. We do use our hands. Listen, I'm on TV, you know, regularly, and boy, I use my hands all the time. People write in and comment about it, actually.
Really?
They say, you're going to smack someone with the way you're moving your hands? I'm like, that's just what we do, what we grew up with. Dominic, let's start with you. Interesting, when you and I were chatting on the phone, though, you were saying, I mean, you have really tried to educate Las Vegas and bring the youth into, you know, learning about Italian American heritage and just learning more about the culture itself. I mean, you were the original publisher of this magazine that's still going today.
La Voce, yes. We started La Voce 2001. So I guess we're 18 years old now.
Wow.
And I was the publisher until last year.
Incredible. And you were saying Rudy Giuliani was on the cover of the first magazine,
right? It was all timing. We had an October 1 release date, and we planned that release date in May. And so, as I don't want to say as luck would have it, but as chance occurred, 9/11 happened just a few weeks before we put our first paper out, and so it was only natural to use that as our cover.
Definitely. Interesting, and it's been around since then, obviously, and starting with something so impactful, you know, like that, obviously, probably took people's interest right away.
Immediately. I mean, it was just amazing. I still have, I think, two copies of the original, but it just flew off the stands. We did a 12,000 press run, and it was gone in no time. Mm-hmm. And after that, we started to build up our press run.
Right. It's still going today, and it's turned from kind of a newspaperish magazine, right, into now it's got a glossy cover and lots of features.
The whole magazine is a glossy magazine now, and it has been for, wow, long time, mm-hmm. 7 years, 6 or 7 years for sure.
Wow. Incredible.
And, you know, we're happy with it.
Yeah. And Claudia, tell us about the Italian Cultural Center. Frankie and I were chatting going, we didn't even know this existed. How could we not know?
Well, it started, Casa Italiana di Las Vegas. It started in February 2016. It was created by an Italian-American attorney who started Casa Italiana because he has two kids, and he didn't want his kids to lose their heritage. So Casa Italiana was created as an Italian language school for children and for adults, and we carry on the language courses. Mm-hmm. But together with the school, now we also have a cultural center, because we want to promote Italian culture, traditional and contemporary culture, and I think Las Vegas is now ready for it. We collaborate. We actually just had an event recently about, it's a book presentation by an Italian author, Paolo Battaglia, and we collaborate a lot with the libraries across the valley, Windmill, West Charleston, the Heritage Senior in Anderson, where we host movie screenings. We host book presentation. We have also some cooking classes on how to cook. Actually, the next one is towards the end of October and is about Parmigiana.
Oh.
How to make perfect Parmigiana.
Perfect, yeah.
That's my kind of book.
Yeah, are you teaching, is Frankie Shinto teaching the classes?
Yes, yeah. we have some really good Italian teachers, both for language and for the cooking. And we actually had a basil pesto class last year, and it was so successful. People loved it, and yes, and that's why we carry on continuing this lessons. We collaborate a lot with the Italian Cultural Institute in Los Angeles, and as a matter of fact, we have a movie coming up for Leonardo da Vinci's 500th anniversary, which is this year. And the movie is going to be shown at the Windmill Library on October 17th. It's called Being Leonardo. And the director is going to be there to present the movie. And then there's some Q&A following by with the audience.
Oh my goodness, great. So, really good stuff. And you can take classes to learn to speak Italian, which I love, because my great grandparents came over from Italy. So, you know, I wasn't around a lot of Italian speaking relatives, really. So I've always wanted to kind of learn it, but I could take classes.
You can definitely take classes. We have a native Italian speaker doing the classes in the evening. So if you're free from 6 to 7:30 in the evening, and different days for different levels, but we start from the beginner one to advanced and to conversational Italian. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you can find everything on our website, which is sometimes a little tricky to pronounce because it's italiano.vegas. Mm-hmm. So it's Italian with a final O, .vegas. Okay. So everything is over there.
Perfect.
Too, but
wow.
Yes.
That's nice to know.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
And when we talk about Italian, we think, you know, we're family, and we're loud, and we like to speak loud. And so, you know, that makes for a great show, and that's where Frankie Shinto comes in.
Loud, there he is.
Loud and family, put them together, you've got a show, and obviously a lot of talent. And the Shintos have been around forever. I mean, I know you have really come a long way, starting from New York.
Buffalo,
New York.
Yep.
I'm from Rochester, New York.
Yes,
so I had heard of the Shintos before I got here to Las Vegas 15 years ago. And then you've been here performing, starting back at the Rio?
Well, it was the Hilton first, and then the Rio took us on for almost 6 years.
Wow.
And then, you know, Vegas changed a lot, as we all know. A lot of Cirque shows came, and there was four-walling where the entertainer pays to perform, and that was a fun experience.
Yes.
If you want to learn how to lose money. Coming from a place like Western New York, you know, and we grew up in a typical Italian-Sicilian family. My whole family's from Sicily. And the food, there was always 10 or more people at the table. Honest to God. And my mom cooked like there was another 30 coming.
Right.
I used to go eat at friends' houses. Right. You go to a friend's house and they counted 6 people, 6 potatoes.
Right.
That never
I know.
Happened.
Isn't that weird?
Right. It might be like 60 potatoes. And, you know, and then, of course, you had leftovers, and that's how we came up with giambotta, you know, with the eggs and the potatoes in you, because whatever was left over, grandma or mom threw in the pan the next morning.
Mixed it all together.
Oh,
so
great
good.
Great days,
let me tell you. You tell us, folks, a little bit about your show and how it's evolved through the years. I mean, I know you've had family. It's been a family thing. And
yeah, it was. Right from the start, it was my brother and myself. And when Chrissy, my sister, was old enough, she actually got stepped on stage when she was 5. Mm-hmm. I brought her up, and she just brought the house down. And she was singing all these, like, Ma, he's making eyes at me. She was the cutest little thing. And we toured around Western New York in the clubs. And then there was the Playboy Club, which was the executive a hotel turned into a Playboy Club. We performed there for 10 or 15 years, and then we started touring Playboy Clubs. And Chrissy was now old enough where mom and dad didn't have to come and sit there with her all night.
Right.
And it was just Joey, Chrissy, me, and we added a drummer. We didn't even have a band. We were the band. Everything I did was from the piano, whether it was Sinatra or, you know, Tony Bennett or whatever impressions I was doing. And it just grew and grew and grew. And one day, if I could tell you how many Italians told me, I'm gonna get you to Vegas. And none of them did. One guy did. Out of Detroit, Michigan, Joe Vicari, he owns the Andiamo Steakhouse downtown. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm going to get you guys to Vegas. And I believed him. I don't know why. And he did it. 2000, they four-walled the room at the Hilton. We went in there, just Joey, Chrissy, myself, and our drummer, Peter O'Donnell, good Irish boy. Oh, yeah. And within 6 months, they were knocking on our door. The Flamingo, the Rio, the Tropicana, and the Rio gave us an offer that you only dream of today. And we were there almost 6 years. And my brother passed 2 Novembers ago. And that was a tough, because we were partners on stage and brothers. And my sister retired because of her vocal cords. So it's me now, me and my big band and my drummer, Pete, still with me. Got a young lady, another Italian girl from Western New York, Janine Valentine. Her maiden name is Nola, and she's been with me 8 years almost, and we're still doing our thing, but I have other projects now that I'm working on, and I love it. It's not Shinta's anymore. It's Frankie Shinta, the showman, which I didn't choose. Producer did.
Okay.
Showman.
Well, but you're a showman.
Well, I live to be there. I live for the stage. I live to make people laugh. You know, irrespective of their race, religion, nationality, if they're sitting there looking at their phone or they're not clapping, they're a target. They're done. That's where I turn into Don Rickles. Yeah. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? Really? Because that's the Italian in me. You know.
Exactly.
You got to be kidding me. I'm up here working, you're sitting. And that was me. It's always been us. But now it's me, and Pete O'Donnell's very funny. And it's still music, comedy, impressions. And it's the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Oh, my God.
Swear.
Dun-dun-dun. Yeah, we're going to have you play the spoons later. Not yet. We're going to hold off. That's a teaser for everyone.
Is that? Oh, yeah. Now they're going to not change the channel.
No, don't change the channel.
Don't
the spoons
move.
Are coming.
He's going to play. Margie's going to play the spoons.
Spoons are coming.
Everyone's like, what is that? If they've ever seen. But interesting. And Claudia, you brought actually a snack.
It's a snack. Yes.
Okay.
It's, those are taralli. They are typical from a region. I'm from Puglia. If you imagine the booth, basically I'm on the hill on the Adriatic Sea. So east. And on the southern. So taralli, these are particular one are made with onions and olives. And so they're very tasty. your breath will be
that's
onion
okay.
breath, but
that's okay.
Who cares?
I'm eating it anyway. I feel comfortable with you all already.
Perfect, so then if you like to
for sure.
Try one.
How about you?
Sure.
Yeah? You dipping in?
But where's the wine?
And where is the wine? Come on, Frankie.
Exactly, well, we need the wine, exactly.
I have to try one. Uh-huh. I gotta try
it. You gotta try one.
Of course.
And can we get these in town? I know.
Yeah, not this particular one, because okay. they come all the way from Italy, from Puglia. But you can find them, yes, in international market. You find taralli. I think also some dailies, you find them. So,
right. So
normally,
good, right?
Yeah, they are.
It's like the best part of the bread, like
it
the
is.
Crust. And
you're
the,
right. That's
the flavor,
what it is.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Crunchy. The flavor inside is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So little, but it explodes in your mouth.
So bang. Good. Because who doesn't love like a hard, crispy kind of bread
exactly.
flavor? I think everyone. We all, right? Because we all try and avoid it because we're like, can't eat carbs, can't eat bread.
No. In my house, they used to fight for the ends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then that's how my dad always cleans the plate with the end of the bread.
Yes.
And then there's like nothing. And my mom used to love it because she didn't really have to, you know,
we
clean it off to do
scarpetta.
The dishes.
La scarpetta.
Yes.
A little shoe,
mm-hmm.
basically.
Yep.
You just clean the plate right. with a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's typical. Listen, I've had people over the house and my mom would start, she grew the tomatoes in the garden. She, you know, made the sauce, started it. You'd wake up at 7 in the morning, you started to smell it. It would cook all day. If I had a boyfriend over or something, they weren't Italian, you know, they'd come, they'd sit, and then they'd think this whole day, this whole process, we'd all sit down, and literally, we would eat, and nobody would lift their head, and we would be done in 5 minutes. And this person would be like, wait, you guys are done? And we're like, yep, moving on.
That's it.
That's it. And so, but it was always a good laugh in our house. Because.
See, but if they cooked it all day, it's not a sauce.
It's a gravy.
It's a sugo.
Okay,
yes.
Sugo,
yes.
We call it gravy, and
gravy.
Everyone yells
New
at me
York
here.
New York City calls it gravy.
Okay.
We don't.
No, we don't. Yeah.
Right.
Everyone's gravy's brown,
different.
I always thought.
Exactly.
We always thought if we cooked the meat in the sauce, that, yes, that's that it was a gravy. You know, not if you just cooked it without, but ragu. It's interesting. Yeah.
Ragu. Mm-hmm. If you cook the meat in the sauce, it's el ragu.
Right.
It's the ragu. Yes.
The pork, the beef. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so delicious.
So good.
So good.
You know what? Italian heritage, that's the thing about it. Everything focused around the table, yes, around the dinner table. That's what's missing today, I think, in a lot of cultures, even in our culture.
Agreed,
you know,
yes.
The kids, nobody eats together anymore.
Right, no.
And that was part of upbringing, your growing up. You know, you talked about your day,
yes,
if you had a bad day. And I remember, if you didn't want to eat. I mean, today, kids, you know, my grandkids, I love them to death. I have six of them. And, you know, I want a hot dog. No, I'll have a burger. I'll have mac and cheese. Uh-huh. And, you know, in my house, we're eating this.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's the same in my house right now, because I always said, I'm not a restaurant. This is not a restaurant. Whatever is on the table, you eat. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, go to bed.
Right. That's it.
Tomorrow you'll find the same thing on the table.
That's it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what the way I was brought up, and that's the way it is. I'm not, yeah.
My dad used to say, sometimes I'm not hungry. I'm not going to eat. And he'd say, okay, you're going to have to sit here while we eat.
Right.
And then after you see everybody slurping up the the zuku and the twisting and the meatballs, and you go, all right, I'm going to eat. I don't want to, but I'm going to eat it just so you don't get mad
right
at me. And it was really, and that was part of your growing,
yes,
up, your respect for what, you know,
yeah,
what we had. And we didn't have money. My dad was a firefighter. I think he made $300 every 2 weeks. But our refrigerator was chock full, right? I'll bet yours was the
absolutely
same way.
Absolutely.
Always. I mean, no Wonder Bread in there either.
No.
You know, it was always that everything was that could kill you. You know, Super Sata,
yeah,
Capicola, everything that kills you.
And you never knew who was
going
to stop over, because people stopped over back then, you know? People would just knock on your door and come over, friends, family.
My grandmother, on my mom's side, my grandmother had 13 kids. And by the time I was born, there were probably still 8 or 9 of them living in the house. Mm-hmm. And there were times when people would show up that were not invited, but they would just come by. And my grandmother never ran out of food. Mm-hmm. I don't know how she did it. But her whole philosophy was, they'll eat. Mm-hmm. It was,
yep,
important.
It right. Absolutely.
Yes. It was really culturally important.
Right. And we talked. We
around
did. The table.
There were no cell phones, you know, and love. There was a lot of love at that table. Mm-hmm. You learned about love, and you learned about, you know, your uncles and your aunts. That's where you spilled your guts at the table.
And they used to call it the old country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's how they used to refer,
yeah,
to it. Yeah,
to Italy,
country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with my immigrant grandparents. I mean, so it's different today. I mean, as you said, mm-hmm, there, and one of the reasons for La Voce was that, you know, unless you have a connection to an immigrant ancestor, it's just, you're going to lose some of your attachment to your roots. It's just going to happen.
Yes.
There's the whole purpose when they immigrated from Italy was to become American. Well, now they got what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And so what we've been doing for about the last 30 or so years is trying to swim upstream, mm-hmm, trying to not lose it completely.
Yep.
And thanks to you, mm-hmm, and the efforts that are made by people in this community. Dr. Balboni, Ellen Balboni, is probably,
yes,
the expert in terms of the Italian culture, Italian-American culture, mm-hmm, in Nevada. And I really mean that. He's written several books on it. It is breathing new life into it.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, it's true. To keep it up, it's, you know, and to learn that there are these things out there, you know, when people think, well, I'd like a little hobby, or I'd like to take a class, or I'd like to join. Even just, you know, I saw Frankie at the Italian American Club recently. I went, I hadn't seen him in about, I don't know, a year and a half. And it's just so nice to be able to see familiar faces and talk about things that are going on. And you have similarities, you know, and it's sharing, and it brings out the Italian in you in a way,
it really,
right?
Does, yeah.
It does.
You said the magic words. The Italian American Club. Mm-hmm. I can't, and Frankie, I know you've been here as long as I have. We owe so much to Angelo Cassero, mm-hmm, and the people around him that have taken the Italian American Club, and like the Phoenix, it rose from the ashes. I mean, it was dead.
It was, yeah. There were like 59 members.
Oh.
Now there's over 1,000.
There's over 1,000, and it's still the best kept secret in Las Vegas.
It is.
It really is. I mean,
it's a blast.
If people want to get in touch with at least the Italian American culture, mm-hmm. I won't say necessarily the Italian culture,
right.
But the Italian American culture. There is no better place to do that than the Italian American.
It is. It's yeah. I love going there.
Yes.
I love. You know what's funny about going in there? You see people of all cultures.
You do.
Yes.
That are experiencing the Italian, and every one of them come in and they leave and they go, "Oh my! I felt so good there.
Yes.
It felt so right. Everybody was so nice, and again, it's surrounded by the food, by the people." And that's what Angelo Cassaro and Jimmy Gerard and Benny Spano, that's what they built there. They built a small empire, and it's packed every night, as you saw.
Yes.
And the entertainment. You left that out, and you're the best person to speak to.
Well, you know, I try not to talk about me, but I live to go in there and jump on stage with Jerry Tiffy, another Italian who would performed here in the days, you know, when the boys were here. Yep. You know, Sinatra and them would finish their show, they'd go watch Jerry Tiffy sing. And he's still doing it, and he's great. And there's big shows there. They have a big showroom, but big, you know, for an Italian, it's like over 300 seats. And they always have acts there.
Yeah.
And it's just become a great place. And you feel so good walking in there from the statue outside, right? I mean, it's just from the statues outside to everybody going in there. Hey, how you doing? You know, I mean, and it's like, wow, I'm home.
Right. And everyone calls you by first name. If they know you, if they find out your first name, it's, you know, your first name's on the microphone. There's drinks getting sent. You know, there's all sorts of stuff.
And it's probably the best bang for the buck in town.
You're right.
I would have to say.
It is. It really is. And thank God for that, because you needed some. And I think every culture should have a place like that.
True.
Everybody should, because we need to know our heritage to know how many Italians do I go up to and I go, well, you know, my grandparents came from Valedolmo, Sicily. It's a Providence, we say Provincia di Palermo. Mm-hmm. Providence of Palermo. Yeah, where are you from? Yeah, I don't know. I know. I go,
sad.
Are you kidding
it's
me?
Sad,
how could you not know where they were born? And they're part of you. I go, you better learn.
Right.
You better learn.
It's the heritage. It's the heritage, yes. Absolutely.
My wife is a third generation Nevadan. Born here. Her parents were born here. Her grandparents were born here. But next year we're going to Caserta, which is where her family is from. And she has a burning desire to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're going to go and see the Royal Palace.
I'm going to go see the Palazzo. Yes.
Palazzo, La Reggia.
Wow. Have you been over there?
I actually haven't. Can you believe it?
Dana?
You know what it comes to? It comes to time off. I don't want to go for 4 or 5 days.
No,
I don't want to go for 4. And so that is, you know, something that I plan to go when I can get a good 2 weeks off. I mean, to see it all, right? I mean,
you
the
need
time
to.
You get there and everything like that. But I look forward to it. My mom went, and she's been back at least 4 times, and she loves it. She's just enjoyed it so much, you know. And it took her a while to get there, too, to be honest. You know, it's time, it's money, and things like that. But it's something that she says you have to experience and you have to do.
Yes.
And you know, I'll go with her because that's what it's about, too, you know. Being with family to learn about the heritage.
Exactly.
It was without a doubt the most moving moment of my life, mm-hmm. more so than the birth of my kids, weddings, things like that, was touring the cemetery mm-hmm. in San Fili, mm-hmm. which is in Calabria, because I actually felt several generations of my family. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not that kind of guy. I mean, you know, I'm just not. But it's an amazing thing. And if anybody gets a chance to go to where their roots were, at least as far as they know, mm-hmm. and if they don't take advantage of that, then they're missing out on something really important in life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You are. So when I went to Valedolmo, I was invited to the mayor's office. A man by the name of Vincenzo Battaglia wrote a book about Valedolmo. And the book is this thick, and it's a huge book. And he took me to the mayor's office. And, you know, I expected a hello. Well, they gave me all these gifts, and then they took me around town and we looked at what was what, and I started to cry. And I tell you, I cried for an hour, and they were all consoling me, and I just, because I felt my grandparents, I felt that that's where it started. They gave me this. They gave me, you know, my hot temper, my everything. They gave me all of it, the love that I have. I'm so passionate. I love my children and grandchildren so much that when I talk about them, I cry. Yeah. And it all came out, and I felt so good to be there. If you, like he said, you have to go. I don't know when. Don't wait till you're too old to enjoy it. You got to go. I took my mom about 25 years ago, but we didn't get to go to Sicily because one of the people that was with us couldn't go to Sicily. Okay. It's another story. Yeah, he got lost. But we had to go to Paris, and it was nice. And, yeah, okay, I'm not French, but it was beautiful. This past September, we went to Rome, Taramina Alta. We went to Pompeii, tutti. We were all over. And then we went to Sicily. And I had to get a private driver to take me to Valedomo. It's up in the mountains. And all I could think of is if my father never saw this. He never got to see this. And all of it. I had seven uncles, too. And I don't know how many of them went back, maybe one or two. But it changed my life. It really did. You have to go. And even today, I have six grandbabies, and my daughter had two, a 6 and a 4-year-old. And am I talking too much?
No.
But a 6 and a 4-year-old, and then she had twin boys a year ago. And they're all beautiful. And all the babies, we say Piccirido in Sicilian.
Piccirido.
And I always used to sing the first song I ever learned. It was an old Sicilian song about a donkey. Avianushi caredu, maeru sapurito. It's about a man who lost his donkey. Now, it sounds silly, but in those days, it was everything. It got you to town. It kept you alive. It would get your food. And I sing it to the one-year-olds, and I've been singing it to all of them. One day, I'm not in the room, and my 4-year-old granddaughter, Vivian, I start to walk in the room, and I hear her looking at the boys laying down, and she sang it verbatim,
oh,
4 years old. That was it. I go, there it is. I carried, without even knowing, I did it.
Yes, that's your legacy.
It's just, I love it. I love my heritage.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great story. Yeah, it's so true. We pick things up young, you know, just from things that happen in our home. And that's why sometimes when we talk about, even, you know, in the news business, the negative things that happen in the home when you're young, you know, it's important to keep these positive things and keep your heritage involved and family and all that kind of thing. But just really, really, really good.
For me, it's a little different because I was born and raised in Bari, and I came here in 1998 in the United States. But I try to go back every summer because my parents are still there, even though they try to come here quite often. But it's becoming harder and harder to come back. And every time it's, you know, I always say to my friends, it's like the first 3 weeks that I'm back, I'm depressed because I don't want to come back.
Yeah,
it is harder. So I feel like the older I get, and the closer I'm to my roots, and I want to spend more time there, because there is something about the friends that you have since you were young and the social life, and just as we mentioned before, the time spent just on the Sunday eating at the table and chatting, and there's nothing there, you know, even after a meal, you finish a meal and you're just there and talk about anything,
right?
And you know, here everything is like, you got to do this and you got to plan ahead. And you know, every time that I have dinner with friends is like planning like 2 weeks prior.
No, you're right.
And with Italians, it's like, what are you doing tonight? Should we go for pizza? Yes, let's go for pizza. And that's it. That's the Italian way. It's like last minute organization. Right.
Yep.
And yes.
And even in the state, I mean, you know, we always ate in the middle of the day on Sundays, but you didn't do it. Like, people are like, well, what are you doing on Sunday? Well,
Sunday
we eat in the middle of the day. We don't do anything else. Like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, we wake up, we go to church, we play outside, and then we eat in the middle of the day, and then watch some evening programming and go to bed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's interesting with traditions, you know?
Did your family have people over for just coffee.
Oh, all the time.
I remember that my uncles or aunts would call over and they'd, yeah, what are you doing, Mary? And my mother would go, nothing. She, okay, we're going to come for coffee.
Oh, yeah.
And start with two, then four, then six.
Yes.
And then you, before you know it, all the desserts are on the table.
Of course, the little pastries.
Which they brought with them.
Which they, right, they always brought something. Right.
My grandfather used to say, ring the door with your elbows.
Because you got
something in your
hand. Always bring something.
But have you ever heard anyone say that they don't like Italian food? I've never heard it in my life.
Never,
right?
Not that still.
Like, I'm not a big fan of Italian, right? We never hear that.
In the desert.
No.
It's true, right? But yeah, it's just good stuff. Okay, so Frankie, we love all the talented things you do in your show.
Here it comes.
We really do love, I really love, when you play the spoons. And people are like, what do you mean play the spoons? And it's funny because you're Italian and you got the spoons. Because we used to get the spoon, the wooden spoon from my dad.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. And that's another thing about growing up Italian. You didn't have a timeout chair in your house. Your mother took time out of her chair to come and beat you. And those were well-deserved beatings. It wasn't abuse.
Warranted.
It was a spanking.
Yes. Right.
I mean, of course, she wanted to kill you because you really did this to her all day. Finally, that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and she used any weapon in the house.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? From the shoe that was crooked, she could throw it around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Like
you know
a hockey stick.
Like a boomerang. You know, you thought you had her. And then the spoon, oh, my God. And if that broke, the one she stirs the sauce with, you're dead. So anyway, when I was 9 years old, I used to play at a place called Johnny's Old Time Tavern in Buffalo.
Okay.
And I was playing the banjo, and there was a guy that imitated Al Jolson, Rockabye, oh baby, you know, all those old Al Jolson songs. And one night, he picked up the spoons and he started playing them. And I'm watching, I'm only 9 years old. After the show, I said, could you show me? He goes, oh kid, I don't know. That's not an easy thing to do. I go, it's just spoons. I go, just show me how to hold them. And he did. Well, I think it was within a week's time, I went on stage and challenged him at 9 years old. Oh. And it was like a duo, it was great.
Oh.
So it's just, it's basically, if you're, which camera am I looking to? Because I'll show you right there. So if you're just doing this and then you add your hand, now that's easy. But then I realized, because the guy would turn his hand, I was wondering what he was doing.
That's incredible.
And I learned how to do it. Huh? I
know. Just two spoons.
I know. Well, the forks hurt too much.
Yeah.
But it's the sound they make. And I guess guys that did this used to use bones.
Okay.
And they did it. And I put it in my show as a joke. I put it in the show as a joke where somebody in the audience, I go, you got spoons on your table? And somebody would put them there. And of course, they go, yeah, right here. And I would go, let me see those. And I would just start by go, wow, they sound. And then I would. And it's become, like you just asked me, everybody likes the spoons.
I love it. I know.
I do other things.
I know. I know. You do. You do. Listen, you
have
maybe
a great
show.
Maybe you don't do them as well.
That's it. Maybe. Right. And I could eat with those after they're washed. My mother, wash your hands. Wash your hands.
Of course.
Frankie, where can we see you now?
I'm going to be at the Suncoast November 9th.
Okay.
And then New Year's Eve. I will be at the South Point in the big ballroom. First time. I think we did one New Year's Eve show in Vegas because we always tour. Say like December, I'm gone because we go back and give it back to the people that got us here. Mm-hmm. Western New York, you know, New York, all over New York State, Michigan, Ohio, and then we're home for Christmas, which is another thing that Italians.
Oh yeah, it's a big thing.
Isn't that something? It is. We eat like we're going to the electric chair on Christmas.
Christmas Eve is the occasion.
The porpoise, the octopus.
The octopus, all about fish. Christmas, the feast of the seven fish.
Man, it's just, I live for that stuff. I really do.
That's really what it's about.
I've been doing that every Christmas Eve since my first son was born, and he is 46.
Mm-hmm.
So every Christmas Eve, I mean, it's just what happens.
Right.
30 people, 35 people, it's nuts, but and you start 3 days earlier, and God forbid somebody tells me to stop doing it.
Right. I know.
That's
it's true.
Right.
Listen, and Dominic, we appreciate you, you know, creating the magazine and that it's still going today. And now everyone watching knows that they can, you know, grab
putting
the magazine.
Putting me on the cover.
La Voce.
He was on the cover.
With the spoons.
There you go.
He was on. No, you were on the cover.
I was on the cover.
You were on the cover.
Me and my brother and sister.
That's
right.
I was on the inside. I only made the inside. Danny DeVito was on the cover when I was...
Well, he's harder to see, sure. Yeah.
But yeah, just for really spreading, you know, spreading the love of Italian-American heritage. And Claudia, it's so great. What's the website again for folks?
Italiano.Vegas. Okay. And we also have a Facebook page, Casa Italiana di Las Vegas, and you can follow us on Facebook too.
Maybe all of us need to meet for a cooking class.
Oh, how about we all meet for dinner?
Yes. Well,
that would be great, actually.
And we cook for each other. I mean, really.
Yeah,
that
would
be fun.
Come to my house.
That would be fun.
We
we'll
cook
do a
for 30 people
follow
anyway.
Follow-up program?
Yeah.
This time next year?
Bring a camera. Well, that'll be great.
Totally.
Really, you're invited.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you so much.
You are. I don't know about
I know.
Him.
I can tell. We've got new friends here. Listen, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking about the Italian-American Heritage Month. It's an important month, October, that we're spreading the love, and I appreciate that what all of you do in the community in such different ways, right? Look at this room.
It is. I never thought of it that way.
No, such but different ways. Yeah. So thank you so much, Frankie, Claudia, Dominic, for joining us, and thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. And enjoy your Italian-American Heritage Month. Cook something good. Mm-hmm.